What's up?
Hey!
Welcome back to the Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Lexi.
Hello!
And today we're going to talk about another fucking amazing book.
But to be honest, when do we not talk about books that we feel are amazing?
I mean, you're right.
I feel like we're only going to cover books that we actually like.
I don't know. I read some books this month that were really bad.
Oh boy. All right. So we've got a spoiler warning. We're not spoiler free. We've both read this entire series. So if you haven't read it and you don't want anything spoiled for you, just wait until you've read it or watch another episode. That's all I can say about that. Current reads we won't spoil. We've been doing our best and we've been doing pretty good at that. Trigger warning, there is minor drug and alcohol use, and at the very end there is sexual assault as well. It's also a little bit more than towards just the end, I feel like.
Yeah,
kind of. Sexual harassment.
Like,
yeah, sexual harassment to begin with, and then kind of turns into sexual assault. So if that bugs you at all in any way, shape, or form, go ahead and just exit out now. No hard feelings. We understand. The book we are going to be talking about today is The Chase. It is book one in the Briar U series. It is the same universe as the off-campus series by L. Kennedy. And oh my god, I'm so excited. I just love both of these series so fucking much. Okay.
Oh my god. I love the De Laurentiis family. Like, I love Dean and I love Summer. And so I just, this book is chef's kiss.
See, I love all of them, right? I absolutely love all of them. But in the Briar U series, I'm not going to lie, I'm really excited for Jake's book. And then also Connor's book.
Faves.
Connor. Oh my god. Connor and Jake, I think, are my top two in this series.
I feel.
And then in the off-campus one, I can't decide. Oh, actually, that's a lie. Garrett, 100%. But then after that, it's hard.
What are you
Sorry,
doing?
I just lied to you all.
My boyfriend just threw me a treat.
All right.
I feel like he's like Pavloving me to do something. Anyway. So I'll eat that in a sec. So here's our brief slash not brief synopsis, because I went fucking ham on this. Okay. So Summer got politely asked to leave Brown University. I'm sorry, it's so funny. After her sorority house was set on fire by her. And she transfers to Briar and plans to live in the sorority house there. But when she gets to the house, the new president tells her that she can't live there. And it's totally in like a Mean Girls, You Can't Sit With Us vibe. It's trash. And it's so funny. Anyway, Summer doesn't want to make a big deal. So she leaves. And her brother Dean calls her. They talk for a minute. Summer tells him what happened at the sorority house. And Dean invites her to come to New York to celebrate New Year's Eve with him and his friends. And also to get her mind off of like that whole situation. She goes, and Colin Fitzpatrick, or Fitzy, is there.
I love Fitzy.
They have a really cute moment, and then Summer goes to the bathroom. Garrett talks to Fitzy about Summer, and Fitzy says that she is fluff, surface level, and doesn't take anything seriously because he's trying to talk himself out of liking her. Summer overhears him saying these things and gets upset, but when she tries to leave, Hunter, one of the teammates, stops her and cheers her up. Fitzy decided he wanted to kiss Summer at midnight, but when he sees her, she's kissing Hunter. Summer ends up being the fourth roommate in the hockey house, rooming with Fitzy, Hunter, and Hollis.
Super awkward.
Yeah, mad awkward. Hunter calls dibs because he wants Summer. Summer ends up meeting with her advisor to talk about accommodations for her ADHD. And when she leaves, she meets Brenna, who is Coach Jensen, the hockey coach, is his daughter.
I love the two of them together.
Oh my god, I know. They become besties, and it's the best thing ever. The end. I'm just kidding. Harvard plays Briar. Briar loses, but Summer knows a guy on the Harvard team, so she and Brenna go to the after party with them. Brenna meets Josh, one of the hockey players there, and they hit it off, but he freaks out a little bit when he realizes that she is Coach Jensen's daughter. They go back to the hockey house and start doing fireball shots, and Summer gets a little shit-faced, so Fitzy throws her over his shoulder and takes her upstairs. She says that she liked him, but then leaves without saying anything else, and Fitzy can't get it out of his head. On the first day of the semester, Fitzy's talking to Nora, a girl who is a double major in, like, a computer class and an art or fashion class, something. I don't know. So she's in classes with both Fitzy and Summer. But Fitzy and Nora decide they're going to go on a date the next day. And Nora goes into class bragging about it. Summer's in that class, and she gets jealous, but she doesn't want to be jealous. The new teacher is kind of weird. He winks all the time. Yeah, he's hella weird. He winks all the time, but Summer tries to ignore it. After Fitzy's date with Nora, Summer is kind of snippy, and Fitzy carries her upstairs again, and Summer basically said that she overheard what he said on New Year's, and they have a seriously heart-wrenching moment. A few days later, Fitzy's ignoring everyone in his room, and when he goes downstairs to get something to eat, everyone is playing spin the bottle in the living room. Summer just spun, and it lands on the doorway right as he walks by. So they have to kiss. It's steamy as fuck.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
Oh, it's the best. Summer's professor is still being mad creepy, but she thinks she's making a mountain out of a molehill, so she kind of tries to ignore it. Summer starts to work on her midterm essay, but she gets overwhelmed and has a panic attack. Fitzy walks by and helps her with her panic attack, and then they strike a deal that Fitzy will help Summer with her paper, and she will let him draw her for his video game character. Fitzy has an interview with his awesome tech company to be an intern. I think that's what he was going to be. I couldn't remember.
I think it was an actual job.
Okay. A job at a tech company, and Summer helps him get ready for it. It's over in 5 minutes because the dude is fucking weird. And there's a networking opportunity that's, like, next for the interview, basically. And it's in a few weeks in New York. At the bar in Hastings, Summer's looking super hot. Fitzy gets a boner, and Brenna accidentally sits in his lap.
No. She did not accidentally sit in his lap. There was no seats, and she looked at him and said, "All right, Fitzy, I guess you're my chair." She sat down, and she's like, "Well," and he, like, grabbed her and was, like, trying to get her not to move, and she texted him and was like, he's like, "That boner is not for you."
It was so funny.
It was an accident, and I loved it so much.
I know, right? So Summer gets into a legit fight with a girl at the bar because she was calling Brenna a slut. Because when Brenna and Summer were at the bar, this guy tried to feel her up, and she rejected him. And then he told his girlfriend that Brenna was hitting on him, and so she comes over to, like, call Brenna a slut, whatever. Fitzy also stands up for them with the boyfriend because it gets into, like, a big scene. Fitzy gets upset, so he leaves, but Summer follows, and she ends up giving him, like, an over-the-pants hand job, I guess, almost.
You're missing a shit ton of information in here. It was not like, "Oh, you're sad, let me touch your dick." It was them fighting, him saying, "Oh, it's your fault, I wouldn't be in this fight if it weren't for you," and then he finally admitted it's because he didn't want Summer to get hurt. And she's like, "What, you care?" And then he grabbed her hand and was like, "Does this feel like I don't care?" She just followed him out and grabbed his dick.
Okay, you're right. That is what it sounded like. Okay, moving on. So, Hunter comes out and interrupts this over-the-pants handjob situation. And he asks her on a date, and she says yes. At the hockey game, Fitzy gets cut by his eye, he needs stitches, and has to leave the game early. Summer goes to find him in the locker room, ends up giving him head, and then he ignores her for days because he didn't know what to do.
Oh,
what else would you do?
Fitzy.
It's so bad. He's having a hard time because Fitzy is really introverted and Summer is really extroverted, so Fitzy's nervous about being with her, but also, like, there's a really cute Tucker and Jamie scene that I felt like needed mentioned. Summer decides to use the sorority girls and the football guys to model her swimsuits in the mid-semester fashion show that she has to do for her independent study class. She ends up having a conversation with Fitzy about ignoring her after the BJ. And she tells him that she's going on a date with Hunter. Before she leaves for her date, Fitzy comes into her room and tells her not to go. But when she asks why, he can't tell her, so she goes. 30 minutes in, she's acting really weird, so Hunter asks if she's okay. She says no. He asks if it's Fitzy, and she says yes, so Hunter takes her home. Summer and Fitzy bone. It's great. Hunter is hurt by their relationship, and at one point, they're mid-smash, as in, like, P is in V, and Hunter walks in, and it's super fucking funny and awkward.
Fucking
it's so
drunk as shit.
It was so funny. Oh my god. So, turns out that the networking opportunity in New York for Fitzy is in the Hayward Hotel. So, Summer and Fitzy get ready in the penthouse, because Summer's name is Summer Hayward De Laurentiis, so their family owns it, duh. They get ready in the penthouse, and when they go down to the event, the owner of the tech company is a total douche to Summer and Fitzy, and they leave. Summer says she wants to break up because she cost Fitzy the job, but he doesn't have it. And when they're smashing, again, PNV, Dean, Summer's brother, enters the penthouse, and it's fucking hilarious.
Oh my god.
It's so funny. That whole scene was gold.
Yes.
Summer meets her with her teacher before the fashion show. He comes on to her and she turns him down. The teacher then goes into total douche mode and decides to humiliate Summer, tearing apart her midterm in front of the whole class when he showed the class that it was her paper.
Remember, she has ADHD. She has problems writing things down and getting her thoughts on paper. And she'd spent all this time with Fitzy making sure it was fucking, like, wonderful. Oh, I'm yeah. I was steaming this. I finished this part this morning livid. And I was so mad. I was like about ready to throw my phone.
Her teacher also changed the time of the fashion show from 9 p.m. to 7 p.m. after she told him that the football players wouldn't be there until 8:30. So the football players can't model, and she's freaking out. With Fitzy's help, she's able to get hockey players to model, and it all goes really well. She also decides to appeal her midterm grade. After the fashion show, Summer and one of her classmates are cleaning up when Summer hears a female voice. The voice is saying no. She follows it and finds Nora being groped severely inappropriately by Summer's teacher. With Summer's support, Nora and Summer go to the dean's house where they tell the dean everything that's happened. Because of the nature of what's happened, Nora won't get much out of going to the police. Fitzy's really worried, and when Summer gets back from the dean's house, they have a really cute moment, and I love them together. The end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dumpling says hi. And a word from
our sponsor. Dumpling!
A word from our sponsor, Dumpling William. Come here, baby.
I expect that paycheck by the end of the month.
Yeah, really, though.
All right.
So, Lexi, what did you do with your makeup today?
I took a very simple approach. I did not get nearly as artsy as Ashley did. To be fair, I've had a rough week and I was super tired. I woke up maybe 5 minutes before Ashley had texted me she was on her way home. So,
yeah.
One eye is silver, just silver, and it's for the fundraiser that they went to. She was wearing a silver dress, and I chose that because, you know what? She was wearing that dress when Fitzy told her he loved her for the first time. And that entire scene where she's like, no, I'm breaking up with you. And he goes, no, we're not breaking up. And he's like,
hilarious.
And she was like, or he was like, you're my girlfriend or whatever. Like, and she goes, was your girlfriend. And he's like, just stop it already. I just fucking loved it. So I did that, and then I did brown on my, like, a brown smoky eye on my other eye for Fitzy's eyes. God, I just fucking love Fitzy. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Fitzy's phenomenal, so it's fine. For my makeup, I did one eye for Summer and one eye for Fitzy. So the eye that I did for Summer, it's like a light brown smoky eye. I went for a very neutral color because anytime that Summer is described, especially in comparison with Brenna, it's Summer is very natural makeup with like a red lip. So I did that, and then to add a little bit more of the drama, because Summer is drama, I added an additional eyeliner swipe through my crease and out kind of as a wing. I felt like it was really dramatic, and my boyfriend wouldn't put lipstick on and kiss my eye, so we went with what we had.
Mm-hmm. It looks so pretty. I love it.
I really like it, too. And then my other eye, I decided to do based off of Fitzy's first tattoo that he ever got, which was a dragon. Don't come at me. I know it looks like a fucking lizard, okay? It's hard to do art on your fucking eyes.
Dude, but you did such a great fucking job.
It was so hard. And, like, the eyeliner was not working. It was rough, but it worked.
It looks so good.
But, yeah, that's what I did with my makeup.
Looks good, guys. All right, let's jump into discussion questions. So let's talk the title. Was it a good or bad title, Ashley?
I felt like this title was like the most apt of all of them without having like a cliche moment where you're like, oh, that's where the title comes from. Like in The Goal, when like there's like, I'm so sorry, my cat is fucking playing. But in The Goal, like, everything lights up and Summer's like, and Sabrina's like, what just happened? And they're like, oh, that was a goal. And so like, that's, you kind of know, like, that's where it came from. But instead of saying like that they were chasing one another, it was like, no, they are chasing one another. This whole book is the chase for them. So like, I was like, I felt like it was the best title thus far. What mm-hmm. about you?
I'm not gonna lie, the first time, because I wanted like with like what you'd said, it's very obvious cliche moment that like you kind of understand.
Yep.
So like when the first time I read this book, I was so fucking confused as to why it was called The Chase. And then like the second time I reread it, because I've read these books a million fucking times, okay? Love them. The second time I read it, I was like, oh no, now it clicks. It's like, it's a subtle, like you said, subtle title, and it's, but it's still like, this is what the whole book is. Oh my god, I love
so
that.
Applicable, but also subtle, which I uh-huh. really liked.
Yep.
What did you think about Summer's reaction to what Fitzy said on New Year's Eve?
A little dramatic, but also fair, because we know Summer is dramatic. I feel like she should have maybe talked to him, but then again, I also understand why she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, like, it's hard. It's, like, pulling in two different directions for me.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's definitely a, from Summer's point of view, it feels very valid mm-hmm. to be upset.
Yeah.
Especially with her mindset, which we will talk about later.
Yeah.
But I can also see from Fitzy's point of view where he has no idea what's going on and she's just flipping out over all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it from both of their points of view.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Do you feel bad for Hunter?
No. I did not like them together.
I'm glad you answered first because I was like so nervous you were going to have a different answer than me.
Oh no, I do not like Hunter. Okay.
You don't, wait. You don't like Hunter at all or just in this book?
No, in this book.
Okay.
Caveat. Good point.
I was like, wait a second, but Hunter's so great in his book.
So, here's my thing. This book is so similar to like the first book in Off Campus. What's that one called? The Deal. Tragic. They all sound the same.
We're done. You're kicked off of the podcast.
Bitch, fuck you. So this book, especially because of the Hunter aspect, it was so much like the fucking Deal. So like the guy, and it's so funny, the guy in the master bedroom gets together with the girl. One of the roommates also likes the girl. And now they have kind of a weird tension between them.
I think it's just the curse of the house, honestly.
It's the fucking master bedroom, bro.
It's just, yeah, it's just the curse of living in that room, unfortunately. I love Hunter, but, like, within this specific thing, I did not like him, and I was a little bit irritated with how he was reacting, and I didn't feel bad because I was like, dude, you fucking called dibs? Like, you can't...
Oh, my God.
Here's the
thing. I fucking hate dibs on women. It is fucking archaic.
I hate dibs on anybody, not just women, but because women do it to men too. And it's still shitty, because here's the thing is, if the person doesn't like you, they don't like you. It doesn't fucking matter if you are in love with them and they like one of your friends and your friends like them back. Get over it. It's life. That was kind of shitty, but not that I don't mean that like that aggressively, but it's still like you can't just call dibs on somebody and be like, oh, they're mine because I want them. And I feel like while Summer, yes, I think she did have maybe some feelings for Hunter, it was more so like a fling type of feelings.
Yeah.
Like just a quick little thing. And then I just felt like Hunter was trying way too hard to be like, oh, Summer's mine, everybody needs to back off. And then when he got mad at Fitzy at the end and was like, well, why didn't you tell me when I said I liked her? I was like, dude, you didn't fucking ask.
Yeah.
Like, you just said, hey, I like her. Maybe had you been like, hey, does anybody else? Like, I mean, it was kind of obvious the way Fitzy and Summer were acting around each other. Exactly. That there was something there.
Oh, especially okay. After the fucking kiss, they're making out in front of everyone, and right? You're like, yeah, it looked awkward. Bitch, shit was not awkward.
No. I don't know. I feel like Hunter was acting like a fucking child the whole time, and it really pissed me off.
I would agree with that.
I was like, Summer is not a fucking toy that you are fighting with one of your friends about. Like, get over it, figure out how you each feel, and then just move on.
Agreed.
Ugh, okay. We need to move on before I go way, way too hard on this rant.
How do you feel about Brenna and Summer's friendship?
I fucking live for it.
I like it more than I liked Allie and Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brenna and Summer are fucking goals, okay?
I think, though, like, we relate a lot more to Brenna and Summer.
Yeah.
For anybody who didn't know, Ashley is my best friend. Yes, she's my cousin, but she's also my best friend. So we relate more to Brenna and Summer than like we ever would to Hannah and Allie.
Yeah, hi, I'm Summer. Nice to meet you.
So I loved that it started out, she's sitting there like with the lock on her car, and Brenna's like, she instantly just starts calling her crazy girl, and then she's like,
I love the Greenwich Barbie shit. I love it.
And then Summer's telling Fitzy, oh yeah, I accidentally became best friends with her. And he's like, how do you accidentally become best friends with someone?
I love it. I think it's so funny.
Oh, they clicked so well just from the very beginning. They really did. Like I said, I live for it. I would read a book just solely on, like fully about Brenna and Summer's, like, friendship. I would absolutely be there for it. All right. Did you sympathize with Summer and Fitzy about their different mental setbacks? For example, Summer's negative self-talk and Fitzy's worry about verbalizing his thoughts.
I definitely sympathize with both of them on these, especially Summer, because that is absolutely something that I deal with. And I sympathized a lot with Fitzy and his worries, especially when we were given his backstory. And it, like, before the backstory, it's very frustrating as a reader because it's like, why aren't you saying anything? Like, all of this. And then you get it and it's like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. As far as Summer, I have, like, different passages marked that I was, like, almost in tears because I was like, this is so, like, it's so easy to be like, why are you thinking these things when you're reading it?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing it to yourself, it is not easy.
Yeah.
What about you?
I did. I normally, when there's like negative self-talk, it's sometimes in books, it's done in a way where it almost feels like a, oh, I just want somebody to compliment me and make me feel better type of way.
Yeah.
This one wasn't like that. It was a very real, like, she was very insecure. And, you know, she couldn't take the meds. The meds caused really bad reactions for her. And so it wasn't done in a way that was very annoying, which I liked. Because a lot of the times when it's done in an annoying way, it takes away from, like, the message of yeah. what's happening. So I really enjoyed the way that it was done as well. And I, you know, it goes right along with what, how Summer is. She didn't want, she's negatively talked to herself, but not like in a way where it was like, she didn't really do it to other people.
Yeah. It was very much in her own head.
Which is how a lot of the time it happens.
Yes.
And Fitzy's worry about verbalizing his thoughts. I can't say my parents are happily married, and they have been happily married since, I mean, obviously since they got married.
I don't think anyone's parents can.
Yeah, so I don't relate to that or the way, and so I didn't understand what, like, the feelings he was going through. However, I could understand, like, when you're reading it and you see and you're, like, in the person's mind, like, I understood why he was nervous. Because his yeah. parents were using it against, like, anything he felt and thought against one another.
Each other. Yeah. What did you think of how Summer acted during the bar fight?
Not that I've ever actually been in a bar fight. And most of the times that I'm about to start a bar fight, it's with men that are assholes. And I don't fight the girlfriends. I fight the actual man. And it's usually that's verbally. Usually
who the problem is with. So.
Yeah. So, but I also am kind of like, you know what? Let's say Ashley and I were at the bar and somebody was doing that shit to her. Fuck yeah, you're damn right. I'd be fighting.
That doesn't surprise me at all. So I absolutely love that L. Kennedy, like, you don't call people sluts. It's a mm-hmm. line you don't cross.
Even the men don't call the girls sluts. Oh, in yeah. books.
And I love it. I think that's a great thing. And then it also was like, do you know how far you set us back every time you call another girl a slut? Like, I thought those were awesome points. I absolutely condone how Summer acted, because I will always be a stick up for yourself and stick up for the people you care about kind of person. I just loved the whole thing. I was not mad at all, and I was mad at Fitzy for being mad at her for sticking up for something she believes in.
To be fair, after once he like explains it, and then you realize it was more so he just didn't want her to be hurt. It wasn't so much mm-hmm. that she got in the fight. It made more sense.
Yeah.
But I totally forgot that she was also called a slut, because I was sitting there thinking, I mean, the way I see it is, I'm like, call me whatever the fuck you want. But as soon as you start calling like the people I care about names, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So I totally forgot, because I was sitting there like, I was like, well, fuck yeah. If I was going through that situation, I'd fucking fight somebody too.
And I absolutely loved that, like, every time, like, Summer is saying that she's hooked up with these people, but it's not in, like, a judgmental way. Mm-hmm. And there's no sort of judgment at all. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, this happened one time.
Yeah.
I loved it.
This whole thing. All right. How did your thoughts about Shut Summer? How did your thoughts about Summer change or not change through this book?
Summer, especially when you go into this book, first time reading, you don't know a lot about her. She comes across very, very fluffy and not serious and those things.
You don't know a lot about her if you read it the way Ashley read it. Not the way that it was, I think, intended to be read.
I'm saying, like, right now.
If you've read the off-campus series first, as I would suggest you do, then you know. You know a little bit about Summer. Continue. I love
glaring
you.
At you right
I
now.
Love you.
Anyway, she is very free-hearted, free-spirited, very, like, happy-go-lucky. And so the fact that it's a very negative headspace for her all the time was very shocking and very relatable for mm-hmm. me, at least, because I get that a lot where, like, I'm like, very happy, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I have depression, and people are like, excuse me? And I'm like, yeah, it's a real problem. Yeah. So, like, it's definitely something that I understood. This second read through, I related to Summer so much more than I did the first time. And she honestly was my favorite character at the end of this book. What about you?
I mean, my thoughts didn't really change. I loved her when we were reading Dean's book, and Allie and Summer were together, and then because, you know, the guys came in and they thought that they were breaking in, and Allie knocks Dean out.
Oh my god, one of the best scenes ever fucking written. So funny.
So just from our experience with Summer and Allie together, we already knew Summer was fucking crazy. But I loved it. It wasn't like my thoughts towards it weren't like, she's psycho, like, stay away. It was more like, oh my god, she's fucking crazy and I love her. Total crackhead energy, and I'm here for it.
I'm so here for it.
So my thoughts didn't fully change. I know the first time I read through it, I was really confused about, like, what had happened with, like, at the Brown sorority house. Because I was like, how did you burn down the house? And why do we not know about it? I want to know about it. So I was a little bit worried because I was like, oh no, is this going to be like some big thing that's going to make me like maybe have second thoughts about her character? And then I was like, no, okay. I still love her. It's okay. So
that
my thoughts didn't
fully
change.
That was one of the parts that almost made me cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. So my thoughts didn't fully change on, or my thoughts didn't really at all change. I loved her just from the moment we
she
first
just
met her.
She became a lot deeper of a character for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So, I mean, from the moment we met her to the moment we're done seeing her, which won't be, I think, for a couple more books, then, you know. So there's that.
How did your thoughts about Fitzy change or not change throughout the book?
So first time we met Fitzy was in the off-campus series, I think, right?
Yep.
That's what I thought. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure I had weird thoughts before this book where I was like, he's kind of like nerdy, quiet, awkward.
But also like a total hottie.
Yeah. And so I was like really confused. Like I was just confused about like him in general. Like, because I mean, you play hockey. So you obviously there's a lot of attention on you. You design these video games. You like to read. You're this giant hot tattooed man. I was like, he just like everything was contradictory towards like each other that I was really confused by him. And then we got into his book and his mind, and then it just like it clicked, it made sense, and I fell in love with Fitzy, not as much as Garrett, but everybody who knows me or has listened to that episode knows specifics why. So I love, absolutely fucking like fell in love with Fitzy.
I absolutely adore Fitzy. Not quite as much as I adore Summer, but alas, not everybody can be a Hayward, Dealer, and Deece. But I loved Fitzy's character. I loved all of the drawing. I loved the video games. And I loved how he doesn't fit in one box, because I feel like a lot of the other characters very much fit in one box or another. And I love that he was all over the place. And also, I just love fucking tattoos,
Oh, I know. And it just, the fact that he did all these other things, like, it just made him more attractive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, fuck yeah, Fitzy. I want a Fitzy in real life, honestly. A Fitzy or a
Fitzy
Garrett.
Fitzy is daddy. It's fine.
Fuck yeah. Okay, anyways. Mom, you're not allowed to listen to this episode. Anyways, so the Jake foreshadow.
Dude, I fucking live for all of the Jake foreshadowing in this motherfucking book, okay? Like, I love the tension between Jake and Brenna, and I love, like, they're talking back and forth, and then that Summer keeps bringing up Jake when she's like, who are you texting? Who are you talking to? I fucking love it.
I just fucking absolutely head over heels love Jake. Oh my god, out of just the four Briar U books, like, Jake is probably my favorite.
Oh yeah.
So I think when we first read it, I was like, what the fuck is this douchebag's problem? And then we got into Jake and Brenna's book, and I was like,
dude, some of my favorite scenes are in Jake and Brenna's book. Okay, can we talk about the fucking in the bedroom when the coach is, like, downstairs? Like, excuse me.
We'll get into that next book. I'm so excited to read that one.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so this one's going to get a little bit deep, at least as far as I plan to talk. Mm-hmm. So, it literally just says, can we talk about the mental health descriptions in this book? Chef's fucking kiss. So, specifically the ADHD, the negative self-talk, the introversion, all of those things. What were your kind of thoughts on this, Lexi?
I feel like it was done really well. It was done in a way that, like, depicts what it's like in a very well-done way. I feel like we've talked about this a lot. We've both read a lot of books where it's not really done in a way that makes sense or is what it's actually like. Mm-hmm. And so I love it when authors do their research or they understand and they put it in this way. It was also, like, it was sad to read, like, and to be, like, there's a lot of people in the world that actually, like, go through a lot of this. And Ashley and I have been really open about our mental health. I'm not going to go into too many details because right now for me is not a really great mental health time. But yeah. But I feel like it blew me away with how descriptive it was and how detailed it was and how in-depth it was.
Yeah.
I think I just used two different words to describe the same thing. I'm tired. Ignore me. What were your thoughts?
So I'm going to talk about each of these specifically. So the ADHD, I thought, was displayed so fucking well. Okay, when she sits down to write her paper and all of a sudden she veers off course and texts somebody about a fucking sale at a store. Like, I was like, this is it. This is ADHD right here. This is so, so accurate. And then the negative self-talk, it's very much like every time it goes to italics and it says, like, her inner critic is talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why would anyone talk to you? Like, why would anyone think that you're not smart? Or, like, that's why you failed, is because you're not smart. No one's going to believe you that this teacher was being creepy. Like, all of those things. And it was so dead fucking on for, like, having that negative mindset, whether that's depression or anxiety or literally just, like, thinking negatively about yourself, low self-esteem, whatever. It's so fucking dead on. And, like, it hurt how dead on it was because it was like, oh, shit.
Well, it's almost like a shock when you're reading it and you've, like, been through that shit and you're like, oh, my God. It's like, what?
Yeah. And then as far as, like, Fitzy's introversion, hold on, let me look up this word so that I say an ambivert. So, I myself am an ambivert. Where in very social situations, I am an extrovert. But most of the time, I am an introvert. So,
I'm opposite of that, though, where I'm most of the time an extrovert. But then there are those times where I'm very much an introvert. And, like, it's like, no, just go away.
I've slowly become more and more introverted. But I totally understood the whole, like, I don't want people watching me. I don't want people looking at me. It is something that, like, I deal with pretty often, especially because going into my field, anytime I talk, people will look at me because I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about. And it's a very hard, like, thing to get a grasp on if you haven't gone through it. But, like, the introversion is especially scary when you are with an extrovert because you're put in a lot of situations that you don't necessarily want to be in and you don't feel comfortable in. So I think that's also why I related so much to Fitzy's worries about verbalizing what he's thinking and not wanting to go out and be looked at, things like that.
Really quickly, I just want to put in here, I am so sorry for any time in the past and in the future where I am very much more my extroverted self. Feel free to slap me and be like, bitch, we're not doing that.
No, it's, I've gotten more used to like forcing myself to bring out the extrovert, but it's life. What were your overall thoughts on the book?
Love. Just love. Absolutely loved it. I feel like I say this about every Elle Kennedy book, but she's one of my favorite authors. She does a very, very good job at putting things into words that actually are how it's supposed to be, and like she makes it make sense, like in a very good way. I feel like there's sometimes, you know, instead of like dumbing it down in a way, like she dumbs it down in a way that's not like insensitive.
Yeah.
I agree. I want to say this one thing too. There's this one part in the very end of the book where Ben comes out after Professor Laurie was like, or humiliated her, and he's like, this isn't fair. And one thing that I really liked that was put in here, because my dad has always said this to us anytime, it's like anytime one of us kids are like, oh, that's not fair, life isn't fair. Like, yeah. Life isn't fair. We've got to figure out how to deal with it the way that it needs to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just love this book. I just love all these books.
This book is fucking phenomenal. First time I read it, I loved it. As a lot of y'all know, I read this whole series before I read the off-campus series. So this was the first book I read that got me into this whole universe, and I absolutely loved it. First time through, it was amazing. Second time through, I felt a lot more connected to the characters and just so much more love for all of them. It also was a fucking hilarious book.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
I've laughed so hard with this book. Going back to the order that you read this, I think I was, Ashley and I, we had another friend that we were in a group chat with, and I remember reading The Deal, and then, because I remember the first two books in both of these series were free on Kindle, so I got them, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll read The Chase, and I think one of you guys was like, no, finish the off-campus series first.
It might have been you. You never read them, remember?
That's right. So I remember I was about to read it, and I was like, I'm just going to text them and be like, oh my God, fucking love Garrett. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna start The Chase, and Ashley was like, no, finish the off-campus series and then go into the Prior Youth series.
Yeah, because I fucked it up.
And I almost didn't listen.
Oh yeah, no, one of my favorite quotes is the stupidest thing. I love that when she texts her friend from Harvard, like at the very beginning, she's like, hey, it's summer HDL, because I'm like, that's so funny. Like, that your fucking last name has to be, like, broken down. Oh! I thought it was hilarious.
Just everything Summer does is fucking hilarious. I love her. Oh my God. Oh,
she's the best. I swear to God, I'm going to say this and then we can move on to current reads. So, Lexi and I right now, to record this, are wearing our, we got some Briar U merch from Elle Kennedy.
The funny part is that neither one of us got it with the intentions of it being for this series.
Oh yeah, we just got it because we love it. But
I will buy every single one of them, though. That is on my list of things to do.
Oh, bro, I just want this one because after reading this book and then, like, everybody knows I love Dean, bro, the Hayward De Laurentiis family is my fucking goals in life. So, yes, I am wearing a De Laurentiis hockey jersey at this moment.
I bet nobody will be able to guess mine. See, I want to get, so I have the Garrett one, obviously. I couldn't decide. I actually texted Ashley, though, when I was ordering him. I was like, okay, which one do I want to get first? And then it was like, I think I asked you, my mom, and Ellie. And my mom was like, for fuck's sake, just get Garrett's.
Yeah.
And so then I think I want to get all of them. But I think the next one that I'm going to get will probably be Jake's.
Yeah.
And then Fitzy's, and then Connor's, and then probably the rest of the off-campus series, and then Hunter's. Because I love Hunter, but he's just not one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I feel.
I feel mean saying that, because I do really like him.
After this, after we're done with this part of the series and we're done with the legacy, in the legacy one, we're going to have to rate the order and, which book we like the most to which one we don't like. Oh, I'm going to make you do it.
Well, we all know which one's going to be first for me. It's just going to be second, third, and fourth place. It's going to be the ones that I'm like, fucking A.
I know. I'm going to have to put some serious thought into this.
I'm not going to lie, though. There's three books in the off camp or in the Briar U series that would beat out the last three in the off campus series. Did I mix those up? I'm tired.
I think you did, but it's fine.
You understood what I meant.
Yes. All right, Lexi, what did you read this week?
Alrighty. So, as I said earlier, I was not in a great space, mental health-wise. And I was in a shit ton of pain because my ear infection is being a piece of shit. And no doctor can fucking figure it out. So, that's fun. Anyways, moving on from that. I ended up watching a lot of movies other than reading this week. Because that's all my brain could handle was watching movies. I couldn't get into reading because I when I read I'm fully invested, mm-hmm. and I can't have anything else going on to distract me. So I started, and I was currently reading Bossy Grump by Nicole Snow. The last time, I'm gonna be completely honest, did I actually finish this book? oh no, I did, because it's in my Amazon the Kindle app doesn't actually update your reading insights unless you've actually finished the book. So I did finish this book. I finished Bossy Grump by Nicole Snow. I'm having issues. The other day I started The Cleanup by Mila Sin and Manuela Roget. I hope Rouget? I said that right.
I don't know. Roget? Maybe it's French.
We're going to just hope that I said it right. I started that one. It is a reverse harem. I'm not fully sure if I like it or not right now. So I was like, I'm getting really nervous to not read it, because if I don't finish reading it, or if I don't keep reading it until I get invested, I'm not going to finish it. But that's what I'm currently reading. Then I took a break from that to read The Chase, obviously. And then I'm going to try and finish that one tonight. I think I'm about halfway through. Maybe I'm closer to 60%. Then I'm going to start Ruthless Sinner by Ivy Blake.
Ivy Blake. last name's Blank. Just no last name.
That one is a, college dark romance bully thing or whatever. They're supposed to end up being roommates or whatever. It's going to be fun. I'm already just going to say right now, I'm not going to ever finish this book probably in 1 week. So we're going to go slow. I plan on trying to read at least one chapter of House of Earth and Blood by Sarah J. Maas. I don't know what it is, because this book, what I've read, it's good. It's good and I've enjoyed it. But for some reason, I cannot just fucking sit down and read it all. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I cannot. And I will get past my one paragraph of The War of Two Queens by Jennifer L. Armentrout. The thing with this book is I had started it and I was experiencing some issues with my ears and I couldn't sit down long enough to focus long enough on what was happening in this book. And I already knew, because I had already decided I wasn't going to reread the whole series first. Mistake on my part, maybe. Who knows? So I was like, I'm going to have to really have, my brain be at its best to fully remember everything and to just pick up on little things here and there. So that's my plan.
So this week... Okay, so I told you guys last week about the fucking book that I read that I did not like. And it kind of put me in a little bit of a book slump. And so to try to get out of it, I decided to start the rest of the books in the King series, the standalones.
Woohoo!
That you don't have to read them like in any order with the rest of the series, mm-hmm. but they're there. So I read 9 and it's spelled like Tech 9. I don't know if I'm like dating myself when I say that, but it's like N, the number 9, N-E. And it's The Tale of Kevin Clearwater by T.M. Frazier. It was really good. I fucking love Kevin. So Kevin is Preppy's brother. So if you didn't catch that. Next
they
I read The Dark.
They have such weird like first names. I have a question. Is 9 supposed to be like a nickname like Preppy is for?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. Like just because of the way their nicknames sense. Are. But the way that their nicknames are and everything, it just feels weird when you hear their real names. It's like, what?
That's totally not right.
Like with Preppy, who the fuck would name their child Preppy?
Yeah, but if you call him Samuel, it's weird.
I know. So I was convinced. I was like, no, Preppy is his real name. Preppy is his birth name. And then I was like, who the fuck would have named their child Preppy?
Oh my God. I have a comment for that later. So next I read The Dark Light of Day, and this one is Jake and Abby's story. So it's Ooh. Jake, like the mercenary from like the first couple books.
So we both love and hate.
Yes, and how he meets Abby, and it's really fucking good. It was the best one that I've read.
Ooh.
Next I read All the Rage. That's Rage's book.
Oh really my God. Good. Oh my God. She has her own book?
She does.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay.
It's really good. I really liked it.
I fucking love Rage.
And then next I read A Baby for the Boss by Jessa Kane. I was not expecting this book to be less than 100 pages. It totally was. But it was really good. It was really sweet, cute.
Was this one of your pregnancy
just
trope
came
ones?
For the smut. Yeah. yeah, pretty much. Then I finished Brooklyn Air by Serena Bowen. It was really cute. I finished it. It was like sitting on my fucking like next to my bed for like the whole week, and then I was like, wait, I'm almost done with that book.
So it was just cute?
Yeah.
Just cute. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next I read this book. It's called Descent by Sam Mariano. I think I gave it a 2.5 stars. It is very, very kinky, very dark. There is so much fucking non-consent in this book, and it was really hard for me to get behind and really like the book. But if that is something that you like, read away. It's just not my cup of tea. Then I read The Chase. Obviously, we just talked about that. My current reads, Up in Smoke, which is the last one of the King series, like, novels, like, side novels. And this one is Smoke's story. I've got, like, 20% left, which is, like, 50 pages.
Isn't Smoke the one that came and got Preppy, or was there with her at the hospital?
Yep.
With Preppy? Okay, cool.
I'm also reading Gaslight by Rachel Rose. This one's really fucking good. It hooked me real quick. I'm pretty sure I have a vibe of what's gonna happen. It's a girl and her mom. They moved from New York to California to get away from the dad. And you're kind of trying to figure out what has happened because they're still very much upset that they're not with the dad, but they shouldn't be with him. So it's trying to figure out what's up. She also feels very weak, so she wants to learn how to fight and be a boxer because she doesn't want to feel weak anymore.
Fuck yeah.
And it's really good. I like it. And I'm also reading House of Sky and Breath. Have I gotten
surprise,
any farther
surprise.
Than last week? No. But
you know what?
This week
it's,
I will.
It's, you're thinking about it. You're not like exactly. me where you started it. And then put it down for, like, 5 months and then was like, maybe I should read this again.
Yeah, I really need to get back on reading that because I so, like, everybody talks about the ending and I so want to know what happens, so.
I just want to say one quick thing about my little Crescent City experience. I bought the book, the physical copy. Read maybe 2 chapters and was like, okay, put it down. Then I was like, okay, it's a big book. I don't want to carry this thick-ass book everywhere with me. But I like to take what I'm reading with me places in case I can sit down and read. So then I bought it on Kindle. I bought this motherfucker twice.
And you still haven't read it?
No! And I pre-ordered the fucking second one. And I, yeah, I'm a mess. My life is a mess. I'm about ready because I have an extra point on Audible. I'm about ready to just buy it. And then when I come in for the plane ride, when I come to visit you, I'll just fucking listen to it.
Do it. The end will tear you to pieces. Okay.
Oh, fuck. Now you're making me not want to read it.
If you guys want to reach out and chat with us, see our book looks, give us any tips or book recs, let us know. TikTok is blues.library and Instagram is blues.library and blues.librarypodcast. What book are we doing next week, Lexi?
We are going to be doing The Life and Death of Samuel Clearwater, Preppy Part 3. It is Book 7 in the King series by T.M. Fraser. I believe this one is the last one of the King series, yeah. Isn't it?
Yep, besides all of those side novels I just mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, sad. I'm not ready. And I'm also, like, really anxious about reading this one, about what's going to fucking happen, because all of the other characters, when bad shit started happening in the other books, were tortured, and I don't really want that. So, I'm not ready. I'm really not fucking ready.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. I hope you guys all have a great weekend. Week. Have a great week.
It's the weekend for us.
It is, but have a great week for y'all.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school.
Don't drink and drive. Do not listen to what my boyfriend just said if you could hear that.
What did he say?
He said, do not wear condoms.
I mean, if you want STDs, go for it.
Or a baby.
Condoms aren't always protection, though. The best protection to not... Sponsors. Jacob, give me a minute because I'm talking.
Don't wear condoms.
She says give her a minute.
Don't pull out.
I'm talking.
Oh my god. You're exposing too much of our sex life. Get out of here.
I think you did that on your own.
The only protection you have against getting pregnant, Ashley, is to not have sex. So there you go.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead, Jacob. It's your turn. You have the floor.
Oh, just don't pull out. It's about the only advice I could ever give anybody.
Get out of here.
So what I'm understanding is he wants to be stuck with a kid then.
He's sure trying. It's a one-sided try, though. Can you tell he's vaping over the camera right now?
Oh, I had no idea.
Get out of here. Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye.